见。
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, welcome back to the show. This is episode 518 of the Two Dumb Yenders. This Mike and Derpy is the one and only Beware. Beware the Ides of March it is.
Yes. Yes.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing today, Derpy?
Derpy.
I'm doing
Derpy.
Great.
Derpy.
That's Deontay Johnson again.
Derpy.
What's that?
Derpy.
I'm doing great besides Deontay Johnson again.
All right. All right. We'll definitely get into that here shortly. Mike, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm fired up. I'm awake, alert, and ready to go.
You had something that you were just chomping at the bit to tell us before we got on the air, and I can't wait to hear what it is. Mike, what kind of crazy story do you have?
So last night, you know, I'm at a local retail store, right? Just getting ready to walk out, and I see this older couple. Yeah, well, I say older, maybe late 50s, early 60s. So not that old, not that young. And the wife is talking to the cashier, and it's like, they're all black. Like, I can't shop for my husband here. I'm tuning in. I wouldn't hear this. She was complaining because all the mannequins were black. Mind you, they're all headless, no hands. They're just, you know, a black form that you put the clothes on. She's like, I can't buy my husband clothes here. He's not black.
Well, that's
and she just starts to walk out. And then the cashier's like, well, that mannequin's silver, if that makes it better. That is so much better than I would have handled it.
Wow.
She was just playing it off like, well, that one's silver. But that was like a whole new level of like hatred. I have never seen it. It's like an achievement was unlocked in a video game. Like, you reached a new level. Like, you can't buy the clothes because the mannequin it's displayed on is just a black mold.
What I just see, somebody had a post up not too long ago on social media about one of these dollar stores around here. They snapped a picture, and it was like some hair care product for black people. Uh-huh. But the picture on the front was a white person with like with a Jufro.
Come on.
Where the fuck am I, man?
Yeah, that is.
Is it that difficult?
Yeah.
Come on. Come on, people.
I was just like, I'm over here. Like, if I would not have witnessed this whole interaction, I would have thought, you know, someone was lying to me telling the story. But I'm just like dumbfounded. And the way the cashier handled it.
You know, the thing, Mike, anymore, I don't know if people are, if they're racist or they're just petty. I think people are petty more than anything. Because at the end of the day, you know, I don't know how many people, and, you know, and I've in my years, I've talked to quite a few people in my life. And to say that I met people that are racist, people that just absolutely dislike people because of their color, I've met very few in my life. I think people more than anything are just petty. And just because some things have to do with the race, I don't know if they're particularly, well, you know, if you think about what a racist is, I just don't know. I just think people are fucking goofy.
No, I think this was like hardcore, deep, deep racism. And it was just a whole new level.
They're not necessarily discriminating anybody.
I think it's because thought, you know, the mannequin was black and therefore these clothes are only for black people. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. There, maybe she was just dumb.
For my own sanity and for, you know, hope of the world, I hope that's what it was. But I just think it was that just deep down bred in you type racism.
Don't get me wrong.
It was just astonishing.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, I don't live in a bubble. I've certainly known racist people in my life. But so many times in my life, it seems like these people that are so-called racist, it just seems like they're dumb. They're like, they're idiots. And they don't know how to conduct themselves in public is what it seems like.
I'm hoping that was the situation, but either way, it was like a whole new level of stupidity and or racism. And it was just a sight to behold. And for the cashier to go, well, that one's silver, the comedic timing.
I love that. Yeah,
it was just a masterclass. I wanted to give this lady.
They do walk around and look for white and mannequin. Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It doesn't even seem like a race thing. It seems like an idiot.
Yeah, it was just it was comical. It made me laugh so hard. I just it was great. It was great.
What do you think?
I figured I had to share it with you. Everyone at work I shared it with, they thought it was hysterical as well.
Derpy, what do you think about this?
I think Mike got a great scoop.
Derpy.
All right, there you go, everybody. I like good story, Mike.
You know, it's like kind of like this. I wish I would like record people in public, but
I know. I wish
can't,
I was one of
I
these.
Can't do it. I want to so bad, but I couldn't do it.
You see these kids that they always have their foot like on, you know, TikTok. Like they're always ready to go. They're always ready for something. I wish that was me. I wish that I had that mentality to always have my phone in my hand wherever I was at and just be prepared.
Yeah.
Because there are things that you see through the course of the day that you're like, wow, man.
That would be great. Yeah.
You know.
Or they always have it running in their car when they're having their conversations.
Right.
The conversation, like, oh my God, I should have recorded this.
Like if I get pulled over by the police, the first thing I'm not thinking to turn my phone on. I'm just not.
No,
I'm
like thinking, the all right, fuck. Like,
am I legal? Do I have everything that I need? Am I legal? Am I legal?
Yeah.
Am I legal? You know, chances are I'm in the wrong, so you know I'm probably gonna get my ass beaten. It's gonna be my fault, so there's no sense of turning.
But hey, at least
on.
It'll be on camera. It'll be good content.
Yeah. Always played on the show is the entrance music.
Right,
getting screaming, getting beat. Good morning, everybody. This is the Ides of March. This is March 15th. This is episode 518. We got a lot to talk about today. This has been a great week, guys. We've had nothing but great Steeler stuff to talk about all week. I'm having a blast. I love this time of year.
Yep.
This is going to go all the way through the draft. And as long as you got Steeler things to talk about, things are good.
Yeah, and they're happy Steeler talk.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't know. Like angry Steeler talk is also good too. But it's nice to be happy and hopeful for a change with your Pittsburgh Steelers.
I will take any Steeler talk that I can get.
Me too. I love Steeler talk.
Yesterday, I'm glad we caught it. Thanks to our Derpy, you're gonna get some kind of award. I don't know a reward. I don't know what it's gonna be just yet. But Derpy, you were on top of your game. Yesterday, the case is usually we log off and then something happens that's newsworthy, but that wasn't the case yesterday. Derpy caught, as we were going off the air, he caught a move, which was Deshaun Elliott being signed by the Steelers. Deshaun Elliott as a safety, which I'm seeing a lot of good things about him now, guys.
Yeah. Me too. Once we got off the air and started looking, I'm like, ooh, I'm liking this signing more and more.
We're getting him on a 2-year, $6 million deal. So you got to think, let me give you the five guys so far that we brought in. Deshaun Elliott, Dante Jackson, Russell Wilson. I'm sorry. Yeah, Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Patrick Queen and Cameron Johnston. So you have five primary or 25 primary positions between your offense, your defense, and your special team. There's 25 primary positions. Mm-hmm. We replaced and brought in five guys out of 25. One fifth of our starting players, we just hopefully upgraded. We do got more room to, you know, we still got ways to go. We got the big pink elephant in the room that which is the wide receiver. But we'll get more into that in just a moment here, guys. As far as Deshaun Elliott goes, last season, his snap chart goes as such. He played at the free safety position 574 snaps. He played at the strong safety position 236 snaps. And he played in the slot 97 snaps, guys. And from, as I said, what I'm seeing, and he was everything that I see is pointing to him being, you know, this being a good pickup.
Yeah.
So let's take a look. Deshaun Elliott is going to fill the spot that was occupied by KZ and Neil.
Yeah.
Okay. So then Dante Jackson is going to occupy the spot that was filled by Levi Wallace.
Correct.
Russell Wilson will take the quarterback spot. Patrick Queen will play next to Landon Roberts in the middle. And Cameron Johnson, of course, will fill the spot of Harvin. Mike, so far with those moves, and as I said, we still have to work on the receiver position. Mm-hmm. We're also going to work on our offensive line. Do you think that these five upgrades are only going to be like I said last year, you got to think we had a quarterback situation. I don't think all the way until week 18 we knew who our quarterback was. We came across a lot of injuries. With these five injury or with these five people coming in to replace and upgrade over the positions that we had, do you feel that at this point we may be more than a 10-win team?
Yes, because I think we are going to address that wide receiver
We have to.
spot,
We have no choice.
and yeah,
We have no
we're going
choice
to do it in free
at this
agency
point.
and the draft. Same thing with the line. I think we'll pick someone up cheap in free agency, but get
They're
some
hitting hard
starters in
on
the line.
defense right now in free
Yeah,
agency. It seems like we're going to go offense in
they're
the draft.
really rebuilding that defense. And, you know, it's just the way that Steelers are. You know, they're going to win by defense, a good running game, and opportune passing attack. But I think maybe, oh, I hate to say this, I hate to say this, I hate to be this way early, but a 12-win team.
You know what? Now's the time to be that optimistic if
Yeah,
things
the
happen
12, 13-win team. Fuck it, why not? I'm going all in on the
And
optimism
this
right
usually
now.
isn't
You
you, so
know,
I
might as
yeah.
well. Yeah, this is what this time of the year is for, you know,
So
unbridled
this
optimism. So I like the way they're rebuilding this defense, and I, you know,
this
and
is
the
your
way they've done
starting
the offense.
defense as we speak. On the front line, Cam Hayward, Larry Ogunjobi, Keanu Benton. On the second level, Landon Roberts, Patrick Queen, TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, and finally on the third level, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Deshaun Elliott, Dante Jackson, and Joey Porter Jr. How do you like the sounds of this,
I
guys?
like that defense.
I like it.
I like it.
I don't think we're going to be doing much more. If we do, it's going to be depth at this point, I do
Yeah.
believe. I wouldn't mind them going after somebody like the guy from San Fran on the defensive line. But at this point,
I think he's going to Jacksonville. I think there's a trade worked out.
that's what I was going to say. At this point, it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Okay, my bad.
But at this point, it's going to be depth that we go after. So now it's time to focus on the offense. We have two wide receiver spots and two offensive line spots that can certainly be upgraded, two of which are necessary because we let our center go and we let our number two wide receiver go. So it isn't like these are things that we may do. These are things that we have to do.
Yeah.
We'll get into some people that are going to be available. We're going to get into some possibilities. But let me continue to talk about this defense for just a moment. Pittsburgh Steelers re-signed defensive tackle Montrevious Adams yesterday to a 2-year deal. He's not going anywhere for a couple years at least. Another defensive note that's Steeler related, kind of, sort of. Devin Bush does, in fact, go to the Cleveland Browns. The Browns.
I'm loving it. I'm loving
This is his,
it.
I think this
Thank
is
you,
his
Cleveland. That's
idea.
gonna help our run game even more.
That's what I'm saying. I think that he feels that this is going to be some kind of revenge thing. But you know what? Nobody in Pittsburgh even cares.
No, like he had his chance last year in Seattle and he whiffed on like every single tackle.
And you got to think to yourself, guys, the Browns, who decided to choose Jameis Winston over Joe Flacco to have in the quarterback room, now picks up Devin Bush. So if you were one of these people that thought that the Cleveland Browns were on the up and up, just keep in mind they're the Browns.
It's one step forward, two steps backwards with the Browns
I
organization.
love it.
Yeah, you keep shooting themselves in the foot over and over and over and over again. And it's the thing of beauty, and they're the gift that keeps on giving.
Absolutely. Speaking of gifts that keep on giving, Steelers Le'Veon Bell, former Steelers Le'Veon Bell, I'm sorry, and Antonio Brown both said they'd like to return to the NFL and to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, why didn't you play when you were here, guys? Why didn't you, you had the
Focus
best
on
running
winning Super
back, the
Bowl.
best wide receiver, and a Hall of Fame quarterback, and we wanted to play games and piss around. And I just, I it is the gift that keeps on giving with these guys. But nonetheless, it's never going to happen. So let's continue on. Okay, so some of the guys, well, let me go over some things here first. According to Steeler Nation, Heavy.com, and Antonio Brown, the
I've
Pittsburgh
seen this.
Steelers are, excuse me, are connected to Justin Jefferson. Now, I know he wants big dollars,
Oh,
but if
yeah.
there was any way to bring Justin Jefferson on a smaller deal for less money, wouldn't that be the most ideal situation for the Pittsburgh Steelers? And I know, of course, Tyler Boyd has been in the talks, which is probably going to be what we do. But at the end of the day, guys, wouldn't that be like the best case scenario? Because he wants to play somewhere that has a quarterback. And last year, with the situation we had, it wouldn't have been ideal. So let's say we throw some, draft pick or two, and maybe somebody that's worth something to him, and he comes here on a small scale contract.
It's a pipe dream. He wants like
he wants a ton
mega money. He wants like
absolutely. I
25
understand
million
that.
A year. But if in a awesome universe where Omar Khan can make it happen, you would be stupid
take
not
him
to
in a
want
heartbeat.
Justin Jefferson on your team.
I didn't think we was gonna bring in Patrick Queen, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
you know.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know, I'd love to get Jenna, but I don't think it's gonna happen.
If we could have a Justin Jefferson, Tyler Boyd, and George Pickens is your 1, 2, 3, and then your 4 coming in as a Calvin Austin, we're all of a sudden looking like a Super Bowl team. In
oh
my
yeah,
opinion.
You're looking at favorites to be win the AFC, but I would love it. I would love it. I don't see it happening. But if there's one man crazy enough to pull it off, it would be Omar Khan.
I agree. My wish list is this as of right now for the remaining positions we have. Of course, the remaining positions are the two wide receiver spots, the two offensive line spots, and as I said, perhaps a defensive line, maybe to give a little depth.
Yeah,
I would love to see.
Depth.
I think Tyler Boyd is at the top of my list because he's very possible, very doable, and I think he is going to be the one that lands here. But also, we are going to need more. The pink elephant in the room right now is the stripped bare wide receiver room.
Oh yeah.
Justin Jefferson or even like a T. Higgins, somebody like this would be your best case scenario. I don't think T. Higgins is coming here by way of trade through with the Bengals for any situation because I don't think they want to see him. But on my particular wish list, I would like Tyler Boyd and then, as I said, Jefferson or Higgins on the offensive line, JPJ at center. And then, as I said, through the draft, maybe get your depth on the defensive line and whatever it is they're going to do with the tackle position, which I'm noticing, guys, in most mock drafts that people were doing for the Steelers, there's a lot of tackles being placed on the Steelers mock draft list for the tackle position, Mike. I think, obviously, they're going to go after their center in the first round. But do you think it's possible that round two could be used to grab a decent tackle?
There's a couple tackles out there. You got Blake Fisher from Notre Dame. I've seen him linked later in the draft. Same thing with Matt Goncalves, the dude from Pitt.
Yeah,
I've seen him linked. There's a couple guys. There's also another guy that you got to tackle from BYU, Kingsley Suamataya. Sorry, I butchered that name. I've seen him linked. Those would be your later round picks. I don't think those guys would be plug and play starters like a J.C. Latham or Amarius Mims. Those guys would take how we did with Broderick Jones. Bring them along.
Mike, who would
slow,
you rather have in the
in.
First round? Would you rather have JPJ, or would you rather or JPJ, or would you rather have Mims?
Oh,
that's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
This is what it's going to come down to. I guarantee on draft day, it's going to be one of these two guys.
Yeah. I think you're going to go with JPJ. I think he would, and that's who I would take too.
You need
want
your
dominant,
anchor. You need your center.
Yeah, I want. Yeah, because we missed it 2 years in a row. You know, Tyler Linderbaum, who went to the Ravens, Creed Humphreys, who went to Kansas City. Those were two marquee centers we missed out on. I don't think we're going to do it again. I think we would be stupid to do it again. So JPJ in the first round, because I think if you pass on him, I don't think you're getting Zach Frazier in the second round unless you jump up.
All right. And what about Reynolds, Derpy? Is he still out there?
Josh Reynolds is still out there.
So maybe Josh Reynolds. He come off his best career season of his career last year. So I mean, he's a possibility. Mike, I want your wish list. Give me a couple receivers. Give me your your ideal offensive line for out of the draft. What's your wish list? As I said, two receivers, two offensive linemen, and a defensive lineman. Or generally what I think we're going to be looking at here moving forward. Give me your wish list. Who do you think you'd like to see come here and fill those spots?
I would like to see Amarius Mims in the first round and try and make a move up in the second round to get Zach Frazier. Address my line there. Yes, you would have two rookies, but I think those two rookies could start right away. I think they're that caliber of players, and some scouts think Zach Frazier has a higher upside than JPJ.
I'm going to be honest.
I
would be happy with either
enough.
One of these
I haven't
guys.
Watched their film enough. I don't know how to analyze offensive linemen that deep. I just know how to see those guys move bodies. So you'd be okay with either one. I would take my tackle and take my center. I think that would be the best case scenario to get higher quality players in those two spots. Then wide receiver, I'm doing whatever it takes to get Tyler Boyd. Then in the draft, I'm going back into the draft to address my third receiver spot. And okay. There's a couple guys, Xavier Leggett from South Carolina and Ladd McConkey, excuse me, from Georgia. He's a small, shifty white guy that comes out of the Bill Belichick factory, but he's another guy. I don't know if we'll be able to get him if we wait till the third round. He would be the guy you would take if you take your tackle first round. You gamble on either him or your center to maybe pick up on one of the lower tier centers later in the draft. But that would be my perfect draft. End of free agency would be Mims, Frazier in the draft, along with Xavier Leggett or Roman Wilson. Forgot about him from Michigan. And then in free agency, Tyler Boyd. I think that would be a nice wrap-up of the season.
And the Tyler Boyd thing looks a little bit more possible because of yesterday. The Chiefs were one of the front runners trying to bring in Boyd. Mm-hmm. However, they did fill that spot with Hollywood Brown. We'll get more into around the league moves here in just a moment, Mike. Derpy, anybody out there that we didn't name for any of these positions that you could think of? I mean, you always have your eye on these guys and, you know, sometimes have people, you know, running through your head that we're not even thinking. Anybody outside of the people that we mentioned that you would bring in from on your wish list from the wide receiver spots, the offensive line spots, and maybe even a defensive lineman?
Honestly, I think Mike put it spot on again.
Okay.
Like I always do. Don't forget there's still like everyone's favorite Odell Beckham's still out there.
Yeah, that's not happening. Deontay Johnson and bringing Beckham. I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
Is McCole Hardman a free agent? The guy who just won the Super Bowl?
I haven't seen his name.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a free agent or not. I would take a look at him. He had a Super Bowl hero. There's a couple like guys. They've had flashes of success. And if you're going on the cheap, just to throw a body out there, you've got LaVishka Chenault. He's bounced around between Jacksonville and Carolina. I'd maybe take a look at him just on a one-year deal, see what he can get. Donovan Peoples-Jones. I'd take a look at him. Yeah, DJ Chark. I forgot about him. And those are some lower-tier guys I would take a look at. If you're going to go with Tyler Boyd, get one of those guys. Just as a one-year deal, kind of like, you know, those guys we brought in last year.
Yeah.
On the D-line side, those one-year deals that end up didn't playing, they would get that kind of contract. You come in, take a look at you in camp. If you got something, you're sticking around. If not, you're gone.
We were talking briefly about the Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs are looking to be the first team in NFL history to three-peat. And what they did yesterday was they made that a little, you know, the chances a little bit better by bringing in Hollywood Brown. Guys, Hollywood Brown, the deal was 1 year for up to a $7 million with a possibility of up to $11 million. I personally don't think that Hollywood Brown is the guy. I don't get me wrong. He's an amazing, amazing receiver. But as I said, everything that I'm watching so far is saying, you know, is the Hollywood Brown addition to that make this Kansas City offense unstoppable? I don't think that that's the case. I don't see that. I again, yes, they're getting a, but you know what? This team survives no matter who comes and who goes. It's almost like that Patriots team. It's disgusting to see. And he's going to do great things. He's going to make great things happen in Kansas City. But I don't think that this team is going to become unbeatable just because you bring in Hollywood Brown, Mike.
Yeah, he's only had like one 1,000 yard receiving season, and that came back in 2021. If he was, you know, if he wasn't named Hollywood Brown, would we really care about him? If he wasn't related to, or you know, people think he's like, you know, an Antonio Brown type player just because of his name and his swagger, his production has gone down every year since his 1,000-yard receiving season.
Yeah.
I his best years touchdown-wise were his first 2 years in the league. They've gone 7, 8 touchdowns and 6, 3, and 4. He's gone down. Granted, you know, his last few years were in Arizona, not the best situation, but I don't know. He's more sizzle than substance for I think he can be a nice complimentary piece. He's not going to go down there to be the guy, but you know, Mahomes has a way of making it work with these types of, you know, lower tier guys. And they just want to, you know, Super Bowl, where his number one receiver, you know, is still not even on the roster, Mecole Hardman. So
in the same division, now this team I was speaking highly of earlier on. I thought, you know what, the Chargers are going to be something this year. They seem like they're making moves to improve. However, they just cleared out their wide receiver room, and one of the players that I was leaning toward yesterday, I was talking about, was Keenan Allen, who didn't last long. He
no.
ended up in Chicago. Keenan Allen, get this, guys. So right now the Bears, they brought in receiver Keenan Allen, running back DeAndre Swift, tight end Gerald Everett, but the safety Beard, the center Coleman Shelton, and the defensive back Jonathan Owens. Plus, they have picks 1 and 9 in the draft. Is there any way that this Bears team might be successful in the future, Mike? Hey, you know what we usually say, our opinion, our perspective of the Chicago Bears team and the way that it's been, you know, forever. Is there a chance that this team could not be this team anymore, or are they doomed to be the Bears as the team in Cleveland is doomed to be the Browns?
Yeah, like on paper, like you just laid out all their moves, they are the right moves.
Right.
And like when they traded away the like one of their draft picks that started all this windfall of picks, you know, they were able to parlay them into nice draft picks on their offensive line and their secondary, their key free agent signings. I love their free agent signings last year, and what they're doing this year, they're building a really good team. But like you said, are they destined to just be that team, like the Browns, that win the off season but can't put it together on the field? You know, we know their history of quarterbacks. They haven't had a good quarterback. They haven't had a quarterback for what, 3,000, 4,000 yards ever in their entire history.
Yeah.
So can they break that curse? That's what's going to hold them back. Is are they going to stick with Justin Fields, or are they going to, you know, gamble again on a first round quarterback in Caleb Williams? I have a feeling that if they get Caleb Williams and he can hit, if, you know, the curse of the Bears and quarterbacks ends with him, they actually have the right coaching staff in place, they could be a threat.
You got to figure yourself,
They
though.
could potentially be this year's Houston Texans, but you know, their history, I hate, you know, just
If you would go down the list
it's terrible.
and teams that are similar to them, and I always like to compare the Browns because they're
Yep.
very similar.
They
Look at
are.
all the talent that they brought
Yep.
in first round
Yep.
quarterbacks and such over the years, and look how it's
It just
helped
failed.
them. So, it really comes down to the organization. I'm gonna have to see a successful Bears
Yep.
team before I believe it.
Yeah.
You're not gonna, you're not gonna fool me with the hype. It's not gonna happen. I've been around too long and seen too many seasons to fall into that again. And it's the case with the Browns as well. Okay,
Yeah.
they may have a season better than the seasons they've had in the past, but again, that doesn't really put the Browns anywhere because again, last year they finished one game better than us. We were a total friggin' wreck, if you
Yeah.
ask me. And they made it one they we made it to the same round in the playoffs. So again, I'm done buying the hype. 2 years ago, the Browns were on their way to the Super Bowl, if you listen to people from Cleveland, or 3 years ago or whatever it was, when they had a nice little team assembled up there. But again, these teams, they're gonna have to do something before I could even begin to believe the garbage that's coming out of people's mouths as it is right now
Wait a
with the
minute.
Chicago Bears, Mike.
Yeah, same here. And like you said, I need to see it before I can believe it. Even though, like I said, on paper, they are building a nice team.
You're
If
right.
this was anywhere outside of Cleveland and Chicago, I would be really, really excited.
You're right.
Because,
These
like
are
I said,
just.
they have the potential to be the Houston Texans of this year. And that surprise team that comes out of nowhere every year, they have the potential for it, but their history makes it hard for you to buy in and believe what they're going to pull off.
And you got to remember also, they are going up in that division against a pretty damn good Detroit Lions team. Minnesota's been very solid over the past couple years, especially on their defense. And Green Bay, who is making a step forward and showed us that last season in the
Yeah.
playoffs. So for the Chicago Bears to do these things and actually have that improvement, it's going to take a lot, Mike. It isn't going to fall into their lap. It isn't going to, just happen because they're bringing guys in. And as we mentioned, they brought in a lot of pretty decent players so far with still a 1 and a 9 pick, two players in the top 9 in the NFL
Yeah.
draft. They could really make some noise. But again, we're going to have to see it to believe it.
We're going to have to, yeah. And now they don't, with what they brought in receiving wise, they don't have to use one of their picks on one of the top receivers. And they can add another piece to that defense that they're already building. There's going to be some good defensive linemen there. There's going to be some good guys for the secondary. Even though they're building a nice secondary there, you can never have too many in this passing era, too many corners, too many safeties. So they can go quarterback and get a dynamic playmaker on that defense.
And Keenan Allen, they get for a fourth-round draft pick. That's all it costed them.
Yeah, they had a huge amount of cap space, though, too, so they were able to absorb his full contract. So
that would have been – I would have liked to have Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
He's
going to
get hurt anyways.
I also see that – is this true? I don't know if this is real or not. Desmond Ritter is on his way to the Cardinals for Rondell Moore.
Yes, that is true, yeah.
The Cardinals are sending wide receiver Rondell Moore to Atlanta for quarterback Desmond Ritter.
Yeah, and I don't even know who the Cardinals have on their receiving corps now after he's gone and nobody now left. Now they're going to have to take a receiver in the first round.
Maybe that's what they got
their eyes. They have two first-round picks now. I forgot they have the Texans' first-rounder.
Yeah.
23?
27.
Oh, anyway, you slice it. They need to get a wide receiver.
I'm looking at their receiving corps.
They're kind of in the same position. They need a lot of help. Yeah. Guys, the other day we talked about just briefly these Kirk Cousins money. Here's a few things, guys. Tom Brady, did you see these numbers? Tom Brady, 35-13 in the playoffs in his career. He earned $332.9 million, and Kirk Cousins, 1-4 in his career in the playoffs, earning between $330 and $411 million. Is Kirk Cousins the smartest quarterback to ever play in the NFL when it comes to contract and things like this?
Yes, he is. He manipulated the market, bet on himself, got guaranteed money.
Brady has seven Super Bowl wins. This guy has one playoff win.
I know. He's a smart, savvy businessman. Somehow he convinced these teams that he is that guy to give him all that money. And more power to him.
It's something to see. It really is, you know. When things like this go down, it's like, all right, I dig. You know, good for you, dude. Let's see some running back landing spots. I want to get your opinions. Guys, these are the big names that moved around the league a little bit this year. And they're going to be moving out of around in the backfield this next coming season. These are the top 10 running backs that moved this offseason. Not in any particular order. Of course, Derrick Henry landing in Baltimore. I think this is going to be big. We'll go through these one by one in just a moment. Joe Mixon going from the Bengals to the Texans. Saquon Barkley going from the Giants to the Eagles. Aaron Jones going from the Packers to the Vikings. Zach Moss from Indianapolis to Cincinnati. Josh Jacobs from the Raiders to the Packers. Austin Eckler from the Chargers to Washington. Tony Pollard going from Dallas to Tennessee. DeAndre Swift from Philadelphia to Chicago. Devin Singletary from Houston to the New York Giants. Mike, does any of these moves do you think that any of these moves really puts a team over the top? You know, because they just needed that guy. Now they have him in the backfield. This is going to, maybe really transform the team in a way that's going to make a big impact?
Not really. I think, some of them, they improved the situation, but not enough to where, like, oh God, they're unstoppable now. Their offense is going to be too much.
Right.
I think the Saquon going to the Eagles, that upgrades their running game. Now they have a legit number one, but we saw them collapse down the year, so I don't know how that offense is going to run. So to me, it's an upgrade, but not enough to put them back into the conversation of, look out, here they come. Because they need everything else fixed before Saquon can be that difference maker.
I got to say this. Let me chime in real quick.
Yeah.
The Joe Mixon, I got to say, Mike, we play them twice a year. I'm not high on Joe Mixon. I think he's good. But at the end of the day, I don't think he falls in the category as some of these other guys on the list, your Barkley's, your Henry's. Even Jacob for that matter. I just, Mike, I never really was thrilled to death with Joe Mixon. He'll probably be an improvement down there in Houston, but do you think how far along?
He improves them, but again, kind of like the Saquon one, not enough to throw them up in there. He's a more consistent runner than they had last year. Singletary. He had a drop off from year one to year two. So I like it. It's an upgrade. It's going to help CJ Stroud, but not enough to, now they're ready to take on KC. I think it's another building block in place to help them out. What Green Bay did, I know you keep AJ Dillon, who I thought had a much better year than Jacobs. Jacobs had a huge step down from last year to this year. His numbers dropped.
Seems like they bought into the name more than performance.
Yeah, and AJ, and if you would have kept AJ Dillon and had him, I would have been, oh my God, that really elevates that team up. I thought that duo would have elevated them. But now you get rid of him, now you're more or less, I think your running game takes a step back.
The Tennessee Titans, they've been somewhat of a free agency horror one way or the other.
Yeah.
A lot of players coming out, a lot of players going in. Mike, do you think Tony Pollard coming in from Dallas can keep them at any kind of decent level in the running game after losing your Derrick Henry?
There's going to be a drop, but Tony Pollard's still a very effective running back, I believe. He wrestled that job away from Zeke. Even though Zeke was starting to be on the downside of his career, he just took it away.
Zeke's still out there, guys.
Zeke's still out there. I like Tony Pollard. I think it's a good move. It's a way to stop the bleeding. Because you're not going to replace Derrick Henry. I'm sorry. The dude's a once-in-a-lifetime type back. So it's a nice replacement. You're not going to get the same production, but it's not going to hurt them.
A little Friday fun, guys. This is the most passionate fan bases in the NFL, according to ChatGPT. The most passionate fan bases, according to ChatGPT. Here we go at the very top, guys. The very first team on the top of this list for most passionate fan bases is the Raiders.
Really?
The Raiders. Yes. What do you think?
I think
they're pretty passionate.
Yeah, they are. Especially when they were out in Oakland and L.A.
Right. Number two, your Pittsburgh Steelers. Number two, according to the AI, is the second most passionate fan base in the NFL. Number three, the Cowboys.
Yeah, they're nuts.
Number four, the Patriots.
We'll see how they deal with this rebuild.
I'm gonna make a point after the ninth team and. So just bear with me. Okay. Number five, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
The link is
a crazy, crazy atmosphere.
Number six, the Chicago Bears, guys.
They are passionate. They do stick through thick and thin. I give them credit for that. They're there for the highs and for all the many, 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 many lows.
Number seven, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, especially on this run. Even when
you got guys that are willing to lose their fingers to amputation.
Hell yeah.
Willing to lose their lives in parade shootings.
Yeah.
These guys are dedicated.
Jesus Christ.
Jeez. Number eight.
I fucking hate you.
Buffalo. The Buffalo Bills fans. They have them at finishing off the first quarter of the list.
Hey, when they're diving through tables in the parking lot.
I learned a lot about Buffalo. Crazy. But let me tell you the next team, and then I want to prove a point. Number nine is the Seattle Seahawks fans. Now, take away the Seattle Seahawks run that they had when Russell Wilson got there. Take away the Kansas City Chiefs runs, and maybe even Buffalo. So let's say Kansas City, Buffalo, and Seattle. Were these three teams in your top 10 list if they didn't have these successful runs as of late? Let's talk about early 2000s. Would the Kansas City Chiefs, Buffalo Bills, and Seattle Seahawks be sitting in your top 10 of most passionate fan bases? To me, it really picks up once you put a nice team together. And these three teams never really had nice teams all the way up until about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more with Seattle. Again, Where's all the Seattle fans gone? Where's all the people that was screaming Seahawks, Seahawks, Seahawks when they were winning their Super Bowl? It seems to me that some teams, they get really excitable, and it seems like more, but when they start winning, now they fall into that category of most passionate fan bases. Mike, do any of these teams fall into that category for you, or do you agree? Do you think that these teams are, this is what it is?
I think Kansas City would be in there. Arrowhead was always a tough place to play. Even when they weren't, you know, running for Super Bowl titles, it was, I always hated playing there. That stadium was always loud. When the Steelers always have to go there, it seems like, you know, back before, you know, when it was under what Dick Vermeil was the coach, and they had people like, who was their running back?
Yeah, they had players,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, they had players in like the Tom Bahali area, the Derek Thomas era. That
right,
place
we know all the guys, yeah.
Rolling. So,
they fall in that category for you. What about the Seahawks?
Buffalo, no, because they come and go with the highs and the lows. Seahawks, they come and go with the high and lows.
All right, so rounding out the top 10 would be the Baltimore Ravens. I can see this.
I can see. Oh, yeah, because they're, even when they have like quote unquote down years, there's
number 11 on the list, guys, the New Orleans Saints. Now, see, these guys, that falls into that category for me as well. Yeah. If they wouldn't have had those couple years where Drew Brees came and they, you know, they won the year of Katrina and, you know, had that mild success for a period of time, I don't think the Saints fall in that category. If you remember the Saints organization all the way up to that point, it was one of the worst franchises in the league.
Yeah, they had the paper bags over their
heads,
the stadium,
Aints.
Like three quarters empty. Yeah, no.
Number
those
12.
Those who showed up were passionate, but the entire fan base, no.
Number 12, the Denver Broncos. 13, the Giants. I agree with the Giants. These people up in New York, they love this Giants team, and, you know, they've only been successful about four times. And these fans in New York, but again, it's all you have, so let's move on. Number 14, the San Francisco 49ers. Number 15, surprised they dropped to this number, is the Cleveland Browns. I believe they're higher. I believe their fans are more passionate than most of these teams we mentioned.
Yeah, easily.
Number 16, the Minnesota Vikings, wrapping up the halfway point. Number 17, Green Bay, which I think they belong higher than a lot of these people.
Yep.
Miami, Atlanta, Carolina. Number 21, Indianapolis. 22, Detroit. 23, Houston. And 24, the LA Rams. In the last quarter of these teams, number 25, the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, this is the most passionate fan bases, according to ChatGPT. Number 26 is the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah,
these are basically cities that hate their teams at this point.
Exactly.
27 is the Commanders. 28 is the Cardinals. This one always gets me, is Tampa Bay. I can't believe how they get no support down there. But the Buccaneers fall to the number 29 spot. The 30th most passionate fan base in the league, according to ChatGPT, is the New York Jets. Number 31 is the Chargers.
Yeah, they're fair.
And number 32, which I think is a shame because these people are really passionate people, guys, in this neck of the woods, is the Tennessee Titans. It's just unfortunate they haven't been able to put anything together for them fans because, Mike, we've seen the fans in the Nashville Predators Stanley Cup. Any people in college football, these are very, very passionate people when it comes to their sports. And it's just very unfortunate that the Tennessee Titans can't do anything for their fans down there.
Yeah, I would have the
32 out of 32.
Yeah, I would have had the Commanders higher. Their fans are passionate. They love that team. They love the organization. They just hated the owner and stopped showing up when Snyder was ruining that franchise.
Yeah. So there you have it, guys. That is your top 32 fan bases, according to the AI.
And like you said, Cleveland. I hate giving Cleveland credit, but yeah, their fans should have been higher too.
Yeah. Hey, Brian and Ralph on the board. I'm sorry I wasn't on that board. I do see you now, and I say hi. Guys, we got to move forward a little bit because we are running out of time. The Pitt Panthers, big game yesterday. They played Wake Forest, who is going to be hating us right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because we beat them out, knocked them out of the ACC championship a couple years ago in football to win the ACC championship. Now we play them in basketball in a pretty important game for both teams. And we basically go over there and dominate 81-69, which is a lot closer than it probably should have been. They had came in with a little rally at the end of the game and made it look a little closer. Blake Henson, gets 20 points. And Ish Leggett, he gets 30, Mike. He leads the Pitt Panthers yesterday with 30 points in a big game. The Pitt Panthers, they have 22 wins right now. And today they play a very big game at 7 o'clock p.m. when they face the number one North Carolina Tar Heels. This game is the semifinals in the ACC tournament. And the game directly after it is the number 10 NC State, who upsets Duke yesterday.
Yeah, baby.
And they play the number 3 Virginia. This game's at 9:30. Virginia beats Boston College in overtime to get to the semifinal round yesterday. So we have Pitt with the number 4 seed playing North Carolina with the 1 seed at 7 p.m. And the winner on tomorrow, Saturday, will play the winner of number 10 North Carolina State and number 3 Virginia. So, guys, we're down to it. Semifinals. You know what? And a lot of people don't give Pitt a chance against North Carolina. And I'm going to be honest. I mean, I understand that. But at the end of the day, North Carolina State beats Duke yesterday. Mm-hmm. So anything could happen. It is the ACC tournament. Championship game will be tomorrow. And Selection Sunday will be on Sunday. So, guys, it's getting down to it. Pitt with 22 wins. Winning this big one against Wake Forest. Five teams, looks like, from the ACC.
Yeah.
So I think Pitt will probably make it at this point. I don't know. I mean, I guess there's chances that they won't, but in my opinion, I think they're going to get in. Also in college basketball here in Pittsburgh, Mike, the Duquesne basketball team upsets number 3 Dayton in their tournament yesterday, 65-57. So I do believe they are in the championship game. Yep. Duquesne. So good for them.
Yeah, if they win, they're going dancing.
Yes.
Yeah.
They haven't been there since like 1957 or something like that.
Yeah. And I saw on Pitt on one of the bracketology things, they were one of the last 4 teams in, even if they lose. So I keep it close so, you know, they can't hold the loss against. You end up losing. Championship games, man, they emotions, jitters, nerves, it can work both ways.
Again, you see Duke lose to NC State. State was number 10. Yeah. Also, my one question I have about college hoops is this. I wonder if Cyclone Larry had tased his nuts yet, because remember last year in the big tournament, if we beat Iowa State, Cyclone Larry was going to tase his nuts, and then everybody from Western PA started texting him and tweeting him. And they are alive. They are probably going to be in the big tournament because they're still looking good in their bracket. But I want to know, did Cyclone Larry actually tase his nuts is the big question, Mike.
We need to get to the bottom of this. Derpy, that's your assignment for the weekend.
Derpy, get on Cyclone Larry's nuts now. let's see. The Penguins last night, they get a win, guys, back in action against the lowly Sharks team.
They did win something.
6-3 over the Sharks. They're now 29-27-9. But the big story wasn't exactly the hockey game, guys, was it?
It was
the 17,999 Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads that came up missing yesterday. I heard, I don't know if this is a fact, but I do know that they say that these bobbleheads, these pallets full of Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads, ended up in California somehow.
Yeah, that's
really.
Yeah, they were in contact. The Penguins were contacting with the California government out there to, help track them down. The authorities are looking for him. Jagr and his bobblehead.
He got his.
Did you see that video? They were, Jagr, Penguins, they did a great job trying to make the best they could out of the situation.
Right.
Jagr getting in his car with the Jagr watch. They're going to hunt this shit down. Little Jagr and little Jagr, they're going to find his buddies.
His tweet that he put out there, he said, I got mine, but there's still 17,999 missing. Call me, whatever.
This is wild. I'm gonna start scrounging like eBay and the Craigslist to see if I can find some of these bobbleheads.
Penguins next game is tomorrow at 3 o'clock p.m. They host the Rangers.
Ooh, the hated Rangers.
Well, we got a big New York weekend here. Pittsburgh Pirates today play the Yankees at 6:35. They took the L yesterday to the Orioles 5-2. So if you are into the New York teams, which a lot of people around here seem to be, we have our share. We do have the Yankees in town today. Well, not exactly in town. They are in Florida, but you understand what I'm saying. And they have the Rangers, the Ranges, coming to town tomorrow to play the Penguins at 3 o'clock. So get your taste of your New York teams. Get that out of the way. Get that out of your system.
Ugh, New York teams. Ugh.
The UFL championship game is going to be played at St. Louis this year, who I think obviously was the most Intuit fan base last year when I was watching the two spring leagues.
Them and DC were really into it. I love those two fan bases.
St. Louis, I think, will do a great job representing the championship game. Yep. And that is where it's going to be played this year. So good for them. They need a team in St. Louis, you know?
Oh, big time. Ever since the Rams left.
And even the Cardinals.
And
back
the Cardinals,
there.
Yeah.
Remember that when we were young?
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Riverhounds look to expand their stadium. They have a project now that would triple the capacity of people that could fit into Highmark Field Stadium. And also, Mike, they're talking about adding a rooftop bar, tripling the capacity. They're really going all out.
Yeah, they
are.
Man. Like, it's been, like, what, 20 years since they've been in Pittsburgh, and there's a boom popularity-wise now.
I love it. I hope people continue to enjoy and watch and go support this team. And on the same note, you hope that they keep winning because they both kind of help each other out, you know?
Yeah, especially like where that organization started. It was kind of like a joke, man. The field was like the size of a postage stamp. It was so small. They didn't have any really good players. To now, after 20 years of building, they've become almost a powerhouse in their division.
And they played very well last season. No two ways about that. Over in the PIAA, the high school state playoff tournament, guys, we talked a little bit yesterday. Today, our two teams from here in the county, Lincoln Park, will play at 6 o'clock today against North Catholic. This is somebody who is in their division. They played twice so far this year. They beat twice so far this year. Both good games. I mean, obviously, North Catholic didn't make it this far by not being a good team. They were in the third round of the state playoffs.
Oh, my goodness.
This game, Derpy. Is that a big news? Oh, my goodness. What's that?
Aaron Donald retired.
Okay. There you go, guys. Aaron Donald retired.
Yeah.
Be a Derpy. See, this is why we keep you around,
this
Derpy.
Is why Derpy is here for the late-breaking news.
He is. That's 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald, guys. Aaron Donald hangs it up. We'll see you in Canton in 5 years.
Make the exception. Let him go in.
Yeah.
Like I like how hockey does it. You know, you, those generational talents, you wave it. You're going in immediately. Him and Brady should have been training.
So let me get back to this real quick. North Catholic tonight, 6 o'clock for Lincoln Park. I look for Lincoln Park to win this game pretty handedly. As I said, they did play each other a couple times. They were decent games, but Lincoln Park owned them despite all that. Also, Aliquippa plays Red Bank Valley tomorrow in the third round. So both of these teams have an opportunity to get to the round right before the finals by winning their games today and tomorrow. Lincoln Park, North Catholic today, Aliquippa, Red Bank Valley tomorrow.
Mike, why don't you
go ahead and tell everybody about the website, man?
TheTudoNinjas.com. Over there at the merch store, we've got Brian and I social media links. But the blog, which has a brand new post up today, I'm talking about a little recapping of the free agency and some of the wish list players I was hoping we would get but didn't. Check it out.
All right, everybody, go check it out. www.the2dumbyinsers.com. That's www.the2dumbyinsers.com.
Derpy Schefter.
Derpy, you win. Schefter. Cracker of the day, baby. Yeah, everybody,
yeah,
give it up.
Buddy.
Cracker of the day. Derpy, well, I told you I'd give you an award, buddy. You don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. Derpy is, in fact, the cracker of the day. Not only that, but I'll tell you what else here later, Derby. You just relax. This is your big day. So, yes, there you go, guys. Aaron Donald hangs it up. I dig. Great guy. Penn Hills, Pitt, great career, Hall of Fame. Let him walk on in. It's going to be a fun one. People here certainly will enjoy it, and I think you're going to get a lot of people come from the Western Pennsylvania area to go up and watch him retire in Canton. I truly believe that.
Like, a lot of ex-quarterbacks from Twitter now are saying, quarterbacks rejoice.
You're right. One other thing, Mike, related to this, I don't have it in my notes, but this conversation made me think of it. On PFF, they had their list of top 100 players in the NFL the other day.
Uh-huh.
Guess who was number one overall?
No.
I swear to God, PFF had their list last week of top 100 players according to them.
Oh my goodness.
Number one was Myles Garrett. You know what? I'm so done with them. There's, you know, for one, if even if it wasn't our opinion, that's one thing. There's no way he's the top player in the league. No, get out of here.
No. You just said Patrick Mahomes lead Travis Kelce and a bunch of guys to a Super Bowl.
You know, people that actually done stuff. Come on. PFF, I'm done. I'm done with these guys.
Hold on, pressures.
That's ridiculous. He leads the league in pressures.
In fake stats. Boo, I scared you. We saw what happened with all their boos. I scared you against the Texans. CJ Stroud picked them apart.
Yeah, see how that played out.
You know, if you want to talk about pressure, show me what the pressure did. Did it lead to a sack?
Exactly.
Did it lead to a big play?
He pressured the, you're right. He pressured the hell out of CJ Stroud. But what did CJ Stroud do? They went out and murdered the Browns in the playoffs. Yeah. So what a joke. The PFF.
Be different. You know. PFF wants to talk about how they're all about analytics and deep stats. Make the deep stats for the pressures. What they all right. Good play or bad?
Guys, we are time. It's time for trivia question. Question of the day. Mike Derpy, put on your thinking hats. Guys on the board, play along if you'd like as well. Here we go. The question of the day, guys, is an ACC tournament question. Tournament question. And I'll wait for Mike. To get all prepared. Mike, you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, so here we go. This is your ACC tournament trivia question, guys. Question of the day. Here we go. In the ACC tournament, guys, who overall has more tournament wins? Would it be Duke or would it be North Carolina? Now, before you think on it, before you answer, let me just say this. One of them has 23 and one of them has 18. One has 23 and one has 18 tournament titles in the ACC. Which one has more, Duke or North Carolina? Think that over, guys. We're live, everybody. We're live 5 days a week right here, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. That's Eastern time. And if you can't catch the show or maybe you want to just, you'd rather listen to it, we take the brand new show that we do live every day and we upload it over on Spotify in podcast form. So, you know, if you just get the chance to listen, maybe you're in the car, maybe you're at the gym, you got your buds in, whatever the case may be, you could always listen to the Two Dumb Yinzer show. It goes up every day, the brand new show at 8 o'clock p.m. And again, that's Eastern Standard Time. All right, gentlemen, the question of the day, because we have the big tournament game today, the Pitt Panthers versus North Carolina this evening, the question of the day is this. Who has the most ACC tournament championship titles between Duke and North Carolina? One of these teams have 23 overall, and one of these teams have 18 overall. Derpy, I'm going to start with you today. Which team do you think it is? Who has the most tournament wins, Duke or North Carolina?
Give me the Tar Heels from North Carolina.
Go with the North Carolina Tar Heels. I'm going to log you in there. Bang, you're locked in. Mike, over to you. Same question. Which of these two teams have more ACC championships in the tournament? Duke or North Carolina?
I'm 23 go with and 18. North Carolina.
North Carolina, I'm locking you in. Brian on the board says Duke. So here we go, guys. Which team has more ACC titles?
Oh, that it.
Duke or North Carolina? One has 23, one has 18. My both said North Carolina, but yet Brian on the board says Duke. The answer to this is the team that has 23 ACC titles is the Duke Blue Devils, guys. Duke has 23, North Carolina 18.
Now I got to root for North Carolina tonight to get closer to Duke. I'm sorry, Pitt. I gotta.
That's all right.
Gotta do what I can do.
Terrible rooting luck anyway. So I'm. Okay
I know my hatred for Duke is overriding my desire to see a local Pittsburgh team do well.
Yeah. So I'll take that. That's all right with me.
I gotta be me.
Was a great week this week, guys. We had a lot of fun stuff. Again, you know that we love the free agency time of year, the draft time of year, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I do want to thank everybody for checking us out this week. We appreciate each and every one of you. Of course, we wouldn't do it without you. Everybody on the board, we do want to say thank you. You guys certainly always keep it interesting as well. Mike, anything before we get ready to take off for the weekend?
The NFL's not going to be the same without Aaron Donald. Dude's Cam Hayward going to have to compare himself to. Chris Jones is me, Chris Jones, and everyone else.
Yeah. Derpy.
Get a freaking receiver, Omar Khan.
I know, I'm getting nervous. I didn't want to express my nervousness, but I'm starting to get a little nervous here, guys. Please, please, please get a receiver soon.
It's hard.
Then Derpy, my thing for you is, of course, everybody, this is not just the Ides of March today, which it is. This is also St. Paddy's Day weekend. So Derpy, on top of being the cracker of the day, you are also our leprechaun of the day here at the show. double whammy for you, Derpy. So feel good.
No.
Feel good going into the weekend because you win double awards. But there is, guys, if you go out and do any drinking of the green beer or any of that other crazy stuff that people do on this holiday, do be sure to be careful, because we'd love to have and see you all back and hang out with you again. So, guys, please, if you do anything this weekend, be careful. Anybody else before we take off?
I got nothing. Just have a damn good weekend, everyone.
Yeah, a lot of things going on.
Yeah, Derpy, can you play the slot? Brian wants to know if you can be our slot receiver.
Also, guys, we do have the Pitt Panther game tonight. Everybody enjoy that. Don't forget to root these guys on. Don't forget we have New York teams playing. We got the Yankees and the Pirates, the Rangers and the Penguins. And hopefully, as Derpy said, please, can you sign a receiver for the Steelers?
Please, pretty please.
For Derpy, for Mike from the Steelers Central Mobile Studio, myself and the Two Dumb Yinzers Show, everybody have a great weekend. Happy St. Patrick's, and please be careful. We'll see everybody on Monday. Bye-bye.
No.